Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. You haven't tuned in before. This is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 13 of season 7. It's called Homeward. It was directed by Alexander Singer. Teleplay goes to Naren Shankar and the story credit goes to Spike Steingasser and William N. Stape. Aired back on January 17th, 1994. In this episode, Lieutenant Worf, the Klingon Chief of Security of the Federation Starship Enterprise. All right, I didn't think that was necessary in the Wikipedia entry. But anyway, Worf's got to work with his human adopted brother, Nikolai Rozhenko, a Federation anthropologist, to save a small segment of natives from a primitive alien culture on a dying planet. That was a very badly written description of what the episode is. I apologize for that. This is the one where Worf and his brother have to save a bunch of people by beaming them onto the holodeck and then beaming them off. Modi Operandis is here to join us to talk about this one. So right after this, me and Modi are going to go deep on Homeward.
Doctor, you were fully aware that the atmospheric dissipation could not be stopped. What did you hope to accomplish by assisting these people?
I was trying to give them a future. What I propose is we create an atmospheric shield on the planet. We can camouflage the equipment just as was done with my observation post. No one will ever know it's there.
You can't be serious.
Indeed, I am. I realize it will only provide atmosphere for a limited area on the surface, but it will be enough to save one village.
I have no intention of compounding what you have done by committing another gross violation of the Prime Directive.
Captain, the Borallans have a rich and beautiful culture, a deep spiritual life. They deserve the chance to survive.
And isn't that what the Prime Directive was truly intended to do? To allow cultures to survive and grow naturally?
Not exactly. The Prime Directive was designed to ensure non-interference.
But aren't we interfering either way? If we take no action, it's a conscious decision to let the Borallans die.
Exactly. We have the power to save some of them. All we have to do is exercise it.
We are sworn to uphold the principle of the Prime Directive, and until that is changed, there is no further course of action that we can take. Is that understood?
Modi, it's the episode we've all been waiting for. Michael Dorn without his Klingon makeup.
Oh, yeah.
And it's finally happened. Season 7.
Yeah, finally, yeah.
He doesn't look exactly like you'd expect. I'm always a little bit surprised by how he looks. It's the Klingon makeup does a very good job of changing his face, obviously. That's what it's supposed to do, but it certainly does that in a way. Anyway, how are you? How'd you enjoy Homeward?
It was all right. I don't know. There's some problems with it.
Last time you were on was for Inheritance, and I kind of spoiled at the end of that episode that we were going to be talking about Homeward, which is something that I don't consider to be a very good episode. If people basically want the TLDR for what I think about this one, it's this is basically a slightly better version of Masterpiece Society, but it's only slightly better. If you don't remember that, go back and listen to my Masterpiece Society episode. But I consider Masterpiece Society to be the worst episode of whatever season that was. I think it was season 5. And it dealt with the Prime Directive in a similar way that this one does. And I think that this show fucks up the Prime Directive so often.
Oh, my God. Yes.
That it basically makes... It makes the heroes seem like villains in this weird way that is like, why are you so hardline about this? Like, what is the...
You break the Prime Directive all the time. Every other episode, you're breaking the Prime Directive for one reason or another. But when it's in this situation where it honestly does not matter if these people live or die, you choose to let them die. Like, that's your choice. And honestly, you're like worried about... Okay, the Prime Directive is to preserve culture. I get that. But if there isn't a planet anymore, they're just going to be dead, then you can't screw it up. Like,
right.
There's nothing. It would be nothing to save the people. Explain to them what's going on. Say, hey, you know what? You guys should be dead right now. we're gods that saved you. Go about your business. We're going to put you down on this planet over here. Okay, take care.
I mean, the Prime Directive, ridiculous. Right, seems to be that you shouldn't interfere with a culture by sort of providing them with the resources of the Federation at this point when they're not ready for it. I don't understand what the conflict is between allowing them to know that you exist but not giving them anything. There's no...
Yeah.
What this episode basically says is that after they had beamed these, whatever the fuck they're called, this generic alien race onto the Enterprise, the episode seems
Borlan.
To think... Yeah, the Borallians or something?
Borallian.
The episode seems to say that if Picard had gone in with a phaser and killed them all, that would have been the best way to go about fixing the problem.
Prime Directive saved.
Because you're better off having a bunch of dead people than people who know that you exist in some way.
It's ridiculous.
It's an absurd thing. And they also paint Polly from Goodfellas as the villain in this episode.
Polly.
When he's the only person making any fucking sense about what he's talking
about. He's following
his
heart. He's not subject to the dogma. He even calls Prime Directive dogma. It's ridiculous because, again, they break Prime Directive all the time. Then, secondly, it doesn't make a lot of sense that they can't save these people who are going to die. Anyways, I take the Prime Directive as like the Hippocratic Oath, like you do no harm,
right?
And if there's no harm, you're operating on a cadaver. If these people's planet is gone,
yep.
So just do what you want to do. Follow what's right morally. But instead, for some reason, this time, Picard's taking a hard line in the Prime Directive.
He's like, you let them die. You leave them down there.
They must send them back, take away the technology that's keeping that cave alive, and we're going to leave. We're going to move on.
And then at the end...
We're going to sit up in the atmosphere and watch it happen, which is what actually they do.
And it's a very Clockwork Orange. He like makes them watch. He's like, look at the screen. Look at what we've done to this people.
Yeah.
It's, and then at the end, I feel that Picard makes absolutely no sense as a character throughout this episode, because the end of it, he's like, well, it's a shame that guy killed himself. I would have liked to have gotten to know him. Yes. And it's like, what are you talking about? Why was the door open? Why didn't you lock the holodeck door?
You wanted him dead a little bit ago, and now you're like, oh, I wish I got to know him. Like, oh, no. So okay, you're saying that Nikolai is right, is what you're saying.
Then. Right. Yes. Without sort of acknowledging it, they just turn Picard on his head. And, I mean, it's the better way for the character to be, but there's no explanation as to why he gets to this point.
I took that. This is my like, thinking of as a writer kind of thing. I took that line as a dig of someone doing the rewrite on the script somehow. Like the line of "I wish I got to know him better."
Oh,
I took that as a writer's dig of someone having rewritten that character differently.
Yep,
and having him a bigger focus in the episode, and then the writer writes that line. It's like, oh, I wish I would have got to know him better. And it's like it's a writer's code to the other writer saying, "Hey, I wish you hadn't cut my script apart doing this.
I wish we had more pages to get to know this."
Because the idea of a primitive guy coming to the Enterprise is at least a little more interesting. And they could have explored that somewhat more here, but they gave him seppuku or whatever. So he just gets,
that's right. Yeah.
He just can't take it. And they give him like two options. He doesn't like either one and he can't live with himself. So he offs himself off camera.
I have a lot of problems with the alien race. I do want to sort of give a general description about the episode before that though. So, Worf meets his half brother who is apparently doing the thing that in the Who Watches the Watchers episode where he's on the planet, I assume, sort of pretending to be one of them as they get to study this alien race. The planet atmosphere explodes or something, so everyone's dying on the planet. Picard wants to kill them all. The scientist disagrees, and he says, no, I'll beam them onto the holodeck. I actually think this is the best part of the episode. The idea that beaming them onto the holodeck to continue the ruse of them living as you travel to a new planet, and you can change the holodeck to match that planet. So what they have to do is Worf and Nikolai, his brother, have to go in the holodeck and lead this alien race through the holodeck till the Enterprise gets to a planet where they can just beam them down. And
that was a great con. I like it.
It is a good con, and... It's
why didn't Picard think of that?
Right, I think Picard realized he was fucked because in the ready room scene where he's talking to Polly, he says that he basically immediately just switches over to okay, we're
yeah, he's like,
do
okay,
this
well,
this
will work. Yeah, we'll do this thing. I guess it's like a It's like the die's been cast kind of thing, maybe.
Yes.
Like, he's just like, okay, well, it's, this is how it is. This is, we go forward instead of worrying about what wouldn't happen before.
We got nothing else to lose. So
yeah.
I think this is a critically flawed episode. The major, major flaw is the Prime Directive, that no one on the writing staff really seems to understand what the Prime Directive means. And this is exactly the same moral dilemma as the Masterpiece Society, where the show is trying to argue that it's better for a civilization to be wiped out than to have minor contact with a superior race that can help
right.
them and move them and save their lives. Which is,
then again, I was thinking at the end of this episode that, like, they're going to be on this new planet and, like, they're going to get some type of new malaria from this new planet and die, like, within a week.
I was hoping
they're not accustomed to the planet's environment. So.
I was hoping that was the reason Data only could come up with two planets, because he did such
one
a good
have
job.
Space malaria. Yeah,
he did such a good job figuring out where they could put them. And one of them was right next to Cardassia, so that was obviously out of chance or whatever. I think this is a critically flawed episode that actually holds together better as you're watching it than you would think it should. Would you agree with that? Do you find this
yes.
episode to be sort of watchable despite how terrible it is?
Yeah, I do. I did kind of enjoy this episode, actually. Right.
I don't mean to taint whatever no. you thought about, but what did you enjoy?
It's got problems, and I still will probably give it a 3. But yeah, still.
So you found it watchable, I guess, would be the way.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I like the idea of I love the idea of Nikolai, who's just kind of just does what he wants, follows his heart, and is just optimistic always that it's going to work out. Like, he tells Worf, it's like, oh, we'll figure it out. It's going to be fine. We're going to figure it out. Like, it's like, you don't know that for sure, buddy. You're just guessing. And I just appreciate the confidence, though.
I appreciate his confidence. I was wondering, does this episode need him to be Worf's half-brother?
I think it has to be. I was thinking of writing this episode differently. We'll get into that a little bit later, but I don't know if you can make it a forgivable act enough. If it's just some random Starfleet guy that did this, if you can make it so that, oh, he's a loose cannon kind of person that's doing his own thing, he's going to have to make a lot more passionate argument for why the Borellians should be allowed to survive. But because it's Worf's brother, being this kind of loose cannon, younger brother kind of thing. Or is it older brother? I don't know what's going on here.
I think he's an older brother.
You give him a free pass because Worf gives him a free pass kind of thing.
Okay. Interesting. I think I'd disagree, because I consider his argument to be strong enough where I would back whoever the fuck it was, like, making this argument to save them. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I think the problem is that the conflict between them has really nothing to do with the conflict of saving the Borellians.
It's true. And it's also, there was also the moment where Worf was like, you dishonor me. And like, I don't think this guy cares, man. Don't right. worry about it.
he obviously hasn't been talking to you for 7 years. So well, I don't.
Let me file it on my dishonored column. Okay, great. Now yeah. I'm like, moving forward, trying to save these people.
They have some sort of generic bullshit thing about siblings, who one was the wild child and Worf was obviously bound by honor. And they, you know, they sort yeah. of didn't get along, but they don't have. That conflict has no impact on them working together to solve this problem. You know what I mean? They're both
really.
On this page, the same page the entire time.
Worf kind of gets dragged. If they had set up Nikolai as a kind of con artist kind of character, at one point Worf kind of gets caught into the con of having to lie to these people about who he is and thinking on his feet.
Yep.
And I could see if they wanted to make that the dichotomy here, that would have been kind of interesting to see, of him trying to be more like his brother. Of him being the strong, honorable, honest kind of person, whereas Rosenko being kind of morally gray and thinking on his feet and street smart. And if it was a kind of situation where Worf's trying to be more like his brother, or brought down to his brother's level or something like that, that would be kind of fun. But there was moments where Worf had to, like, think on his feet of what to tell these people, like when the holodeck started appearing.
Yep.
He had to, like, make up some lie about this, and Roshenko jumped in as a seasoned con artist, jumps right in. But they didn't really, like, allude to that being a thing. They just kind of just made it in character, I guess, made it in through dialogue. But
I thought
they could have brought that up, though, I think, though.
They could have. I thought that was more, I found that to be more of a violation of the Prime Directive than saving their lives.
Yeah, you're straight up giving these guys a new mythology.
Right. the sigil of LaForge or whatever the hell Worf calls it.
Yeah, and it's the dude that kills himself writes this down. Like, oh, let me write that down. That sounds good. And this is how you get Scientology.
Yeah. Fortunately, he died with his records, right?
Because that's right. Worf takes them, actually. takes the other scroll. Like, he dies with the one record. They bury him with the one record. And then Worf, like, grabs his, like, can I have this? It's like, oh, sure, I don't care. It's only our history.
I thought it was a mistake in general for Pauly to send...
Pauly, yeah.
I'm going to keep calling it Pauly. To go look for his lost... Because they weren't there, right?
And that's what I thought, too. Like, I thought it was a thing of...
He lost them on the planet.
Does Pauly let him go or does Worf let him go?
I think it's Pauly. I'm pretty sure.
I thought that was what it was too, because I was like, okay, they've left that planet. He can't go back for those. They're not there anymore. But he finds them. So that means they were walking around. He left them while they're on the holodeck, which means they're like 10 feet away. The holodeck's like updating this guy's mind of what everything looks like.
I just thought it was weird. They know that the holodeck is fritzing out. I think it's asking too much to send somebody off to make the holodeck generate his own little area.
Yeah.
You like, that seems unnecessary to me. Just tell him to stick with you. You're all going to stay in this room together. And we're going to look at we're going to move slowly so that the holodeck has time to catch up with us.
When they get to these big space kind of episodes in the holodeck, it always bothers me.
Yeah.
Because the holodeck seems like it's like a broom closet to me. It's not even as big as the gymnasium like they've been in other places. Like, it just seems like a little 15 by 15 room, and someone's replicating this gigantic cave system where they can all be in different places at once.
The fencing arena is bigger on the ship, I think, than the holodeck is. Yeah,
it is. Or that weird sport that they play with the sticks
that
Riker does all the time. Yeah.
Jitsu, and the shooting range is obviously huge.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand that. Logistically, it doesn't make sense. I would have to assume that like treadmills appear under your feet and you sort of walk in place.
But why would you do? This is like pre-Matrix. Like if this was made today, they would be little machines you strap yourself into and then replicate everything in your mind rather than actual physical walking around, which makes no absolute sense.
Through huge areas and just with I guess they say there's 30 people or something in that room, which you think you'd bump into each other a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I have a general problem with, I don't think it needed to be brothers. And if it was his brother, they made no effort to tie the brotherly relationship into the problem at hand. I think my problem with the aliens is that I'm getting kind of fucking sick of just generic alien culture. That wears like a
humans
hat
with weird stuff on their face.
Yeah. And like, you know, and is primitive. And that ties into my problem with the whatever the guy's name is, the guy who gets off the holodeck, which is another sort of like
his name. Yeah.
He is a Boralian. His name is Vorin.
Vorin. Yeah.
When Vorin gets off the holodeck and he starts walking around, the entire episode has been Picard talking about how this would be a catastrophic thing. Right.
Yeah.
However, every alien species that encounters them handles it very well. To the point where it doesn't make a lot. Like, if he had, you know, he's talking later on. He's like, well, I can't go back because you've shattered my belief system. And, you know, like he's very calm and collected about his belief system being shattered, where he's like, what am I going to do? Go back and have this thing where I know that there's spaceships and I can be in a better situation? What they should do is have them sort of mentally break down.
Yeah,
right?
That's like in Back to the Future when you see yourself, like that kind of coma. That's what needs to happen.
He needs to totally have his mind blown and not be able to, like, so that the suicide doesn't feel like a noble sacrifice where he can't go back, but more that they've driven him so insane that he would rather kill himself than continue in this way.
Like, he can't. This would be. I mean, if you really think about it, this would be like the stuff of like a Lovecraftian kind of thing. Like, this is like, you have no frame of reference for anything you're seeing right now.
Right.
At all. This is the complete unknown. Your brain processes just fine, though, in this kind of situation. what I wanted for this episode, I was thinking of, how do you write this episode better? And you make the cold open the point where Vorin walks out of the cave and sees the ship, and like have it be like just this tribe of people like moving through these caves, and you don't know why, and then all of a sudden you see Worf there, and you're like, okay, what's going on there? And then you have the cold open of this Vorin guy goes back to look for his thing and sees the door, and you find out it's like, then that's the cold open of why are these people on the ship,
right?
And like that, if this was written today in the modern style of writing, you know, mysterious kind of things. I think that's how they would do a cold open for this. And I think that would work a lot better.
Yeah, I think that's a much better way to go about it, too.
You have no idea why they're there, but it raised so many questions right away. You'd have so many thoughts that then it could go back and explain it. You could get into the Roshenko and Worf stuff, but maybe. I don't know how you bring that back in again, but
yeah,
I think that would be an awesome cold open.
Just cut to them. It would give you more time with Vorin. You know, to explore
and exactly
why the Prime Directive
episode
is a bad thing. And we've cut out Picard being a dickhead about the Prime Directive, which I think is key to making the episode, at least.
You catch it media res, and you have this problem that they're dealing with that's caused by Worf's brother. It doesn't matter if it's Worf's brother. It doesn't matter if it's some random guy who made this choice to bring the holodeck on there. You start media res, and you're trying to explain how they got to this point while exploring the idea of the Prime Directive being a bad thing and also exploring the idea of foreign... coming to terms with this, and he still kills himself at the end. That's the way this story ends too. He still finds out and kills himself, and it's like a really sad story, and it would be a better story.
Yeah. I agree. I think the show just can't handle the Prime Directive. It's like philosophically incapable of understanding what they're talking about, and it's so bizarre to me, and it just doesn't make any sense, and it ruins these stories because
it sets them up as villains.
It sets them up as villains for no particular reason, and it sets up the character that we're supposed to perceive as the villain, or you know, villain in quotation marks, as Roshenko, and he seems like a pretty stand-up guy. They try to hint that he's a little bit dubious because he knocked up one of the aliens, but it's like, who cares? Like, that's not even
reason. He's morally gray. That's fine, though. You want those kind of characters. You want that to be morally gray questions. You don't have, but if you make it all about the Prime Directive and no other reason besides that to stop these people from surviving, it does make you a villain. It makes it all melodramatic, and it turns that whole thing on its head.
Yeah.
Whereas if they had a good reason for Picard to not want these people to survive, I don't know how you do that, but he has to come up with a better reason than just the Prime Directive.
I want to see them die down there. It's so twisted.
I don't like their faces.
I want to just get can we get a camera in there? I just want to see them suffocating in the caves. it's bizarre. And I appreciated Crusher makes a good point of isn't once you know of a situation, choosing to not interfere is interference.
That's the argument. That's the argument to have. She's got it right.
Picard rolls his eyes at her. And they show him.
Observation of the event influenced the event. Like, nah, get out of here. It doesn't make any sense.
Listen, I've violated the Prime Directive thousands of times. I know exactly what I'm going to do about this.
I know how to do it. I do it better than anybody.
Small bit of trivia. The woman who is Roshenko's sort of baby mama is Cassidy Yates from Deep Space Nine, which is nice.
Oh.
Obviously, Paul Sorvino is Paulie, Nikolai Roshenko.
A.K.A.
Which is kind of surprising. I guess maybe he feels to me, I could only name that he's in Goodfellas, but he feels like he's a bigger actor than this show.
He's a character actor in a lot of those. I'm sure he's on Sopranos just because it's Sopranos.
Yeah, Sopranos.
He's got to be on Sopranos at some point.
I'd imagine he's probably in every single Scorsese movie, and you just don't know about it.
He's always the background someplace.
Yeah, right. Always, and hopefully he's got his little nose makeup on this one, too. Anyway, I think we've talked about this one for a good amount of time. It's Homeward, which is fascinating in some ways, and other ways it's absolutely not
bothering
in
others
at all.
Yeah,
but we're going to take a quick break. We're going to play an audio clip. Miyamoto, you're going to come back, and we're going to give our final thoughts and ratings about Homeward.
We have arrived at the planet that I told you about. Have you made a decision?
I believe I would like to go back to my people.
I see. What do you intend to tell them?
I don't know.
If you tell them the truth, what will happen? Will they believe you?
I'm not sure. It is a fantastic story.
Perhaps they will think that you have had an hallucination. Or that you're insane.
I don't think I would like to live the rest of my life knowing what I know. And being regarded as a madman.
On the other hand, they may believe your fantastic story. They would learn about alien worlds, starships.
That would be disastrous. It would destroy everything they believed in. I can't tell them the truth. But I don't think I can live with a secret.
All right. Final thoughts and ratings. Homeward. Homeward Bound. Homeward Bound is probably better than this, but... Modi, why don't you tell me what you thought about this? You said before it's a 3 for you.
I'm going to stand by my previous mention of the score. Yeah, again, this episode, it's got problems. It could be better, and it could possibly even get up to a 4 if they change some things about it. Specifically, not like making the Prime Directive be the law of the land. Well, we know Picard doesn't really care about it, really deep down,
right?
He does the morally right thing all the other times. He follows his conscience a lot. And this particular time, it was a problem for him. He's just having a bad day, maybe.
He's not interested in this.
And these guys are going to pay the price for it.
He's like, they're so boring, those aliens. Yeah,
it's problematic, this episode, but it's ultimately pretty decent, I would say, and worth a 3.
Interesting. I'm surprised you would have said that it would have gone to a 4. I'm going to give it a 2.
With some rewrites, it could have gone to a 4, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give it a 2, because I think it's better than Masterpiece Society, because Masterpiece Society is just boring as hell. This one, I don't think this is like a barn burner of an episode, but I found it watchable the whole way through, even though I was sitting, it's one of those episodes I was sitting there just going like, why is this happening? What is going on? Why is this happening? I think it would need huge rewrites. It's kind of a week two, if I want to use that. Not great. Maybe the worst episode of the season so far. So it'll definitely show up probably on my list of the top 5, unless we just go on a streak of horrendous stuff. I think it's just so... You know, the show's at a point now where a bad idea can be dressed up well enough to sort of disguise it a little bit, which is kind of the opposite of like season 1 and 2, where a bad idea was just out in the open for everyone to see.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think this is just as sort of lazy as they get about it. Boy, these season 7 scripts are just really not anything special at this point. Some of them are fine.
Tired.
Yeah, they're tired. They're tired. Yeah. They are tired. Any final thoughts on Homeward?
It's a shame that they couldn't, I don't know. I mean, again, we're at a point in the series where we're informed by all the stuff that happened before. Like we've been dealing with the Prime Directive and seeing them break it time and time again.
Yes.
For a variety of reasons, big and small.
Yep.
So it's just, we're informed by everything that comes before it. They just kind of make us disregard all of that history for this episode for some reason. Make Roshenko be a very, very interesting character then, actually, because he's the only guy that's standing up to this messed up system that they're living in, even though it's not that messed up when you really get down to it.
Yes. Yeah. I appreciated his sort of, and they don't even really stick to it, but his sort of like rebelliousness makes a lot
he does whatever he wants. I kind of like the character because he knocked up this foreign woman, and yep. he standing by her and cares about these people, like, for all that reason. Like, it's,
and he's going to live with
an interesting
them,
character. Yeah. Yeah. He's an interesting character.
Live with them on a less hospitable planet. I don't know if you're sort of, you know, you're not me. You haven't watched all of these. Do you have any idea of what you would consider to be the best Prime Directive episode?
I don't know if I can even begin to unpack which ones have been Prime Directive episodes and which ones haven't.
I would say that the best one is probably First Contact.
That's a really good one, yeah.
The one where Riker gets sort of caught on an away mission.
That's like the quintessential, for sure.
Yeah, I think that, and then Who Watches the Watchers would be like a close second, I think. But those are the best Prime Directive episodes, and there are a lot of bad ones. Masterpiece Society and this one, I think. So I'm going to give this one a 2.
Because it's a messed up rule. They got to give people some leniency as far as the prime directive goes. It's not even a law. It's just a directive. You can ignore it sometimes. Let's do the right thing sometimes.
Let's wrap up this episode by we're going to rewrite the prime directive for the Federation, right?
Oh, good idea.
So what is your prime directive?
Okay, so I mentioned earlier that the Hippocratic Oath is a good thing. Your first, do no harm. That would be like the first rule of the prime directive is when you come into contact with planets, first do no harm. So don't give them stuff they shouldn't have. Don't introduce things they don't know about. Don't mess with them. Don't exploit them somehow. Like that's like the key things that the prime directive is designed to do when they really get down to it.
Yeah.
It seems like a way for the, I don't know how you get to the point where it seems like a way for the Federation to lord over these lesser planets. And I don't know if it's intended to be that way, but it seems like it's a weird thing of like a, I don't know what, like an apartheid kind of thing. Like it's you're holding supremacy over these people and studying them.
Yeah, I mean it's certainly
for the purposes of studying them almost. Like why don't you just improve their lives if you can, you know?
Right.
But you want to maintain their purity so that you can study them somehow. And it just doesn't seem quite right.
It's sort of a superiority argument, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Like they it's almost like it's sort of like similar to like the bias of low expectations or the bigotry of low expectations where it's like, you know, in trying to protect a people, you're just assuming that they're not equipped to handle it.
Yeah.
So it's like,
and then he gets into it. Yeah. He does that this episode. He's like, well, they can't handle this information.
Right.
He couldn't, but I mean,
he handled it pretty well. He was just lonely.
Yeah. He better than he thought he would.
Oh my God. Yeah. That would have been the way to fix it. I think mine would be, I think the Prime Directive really just needs sort of like a sort of like a legalese qualifier, like a within reason statement.
Yeah,
you know, like within reason, try not to fuck shit up on the planet too much. But I'd agree that it would be like the Hippocratic Oath, essentially. Like within reason, try to stay out of other people's affairs.
Right.
That
kind
of thing.
Don't mess things up. Don't go in. Don't go in guns blazing.
Right. Just don't give them the replicate. Well, and then you know, and it's. You're also battling the fact that all the technology and all the stuff in the Federation is so cheap and easy and would provide so much help to other species that it's cruel not to give it to them.
It's true. Like you see these again, you're preserving them because of, I guess, evolution is the idea. Like you can't let the lesser species evolve then is what you're saying.
Yep.
And then it becomes some type of weird racial thing, and it's not quite. I don't think what they had in mind. Maybe it is though. Maybe this is the secret agenda of the Federation that they don't want unworthy people to rise to the FTL era. You know, they don't want people to get the travel and contact.
I know, yeah. And unless
they get to pick and choose who they're going to support,
unless you're the Borg, then they would just wipe you out immediately.
Oh yeah, that's true too. Assessed.
I think we did a good job unpacking that one and sort mm-hmm. of sorting through the problems of the Prime Directive, fixing the Prime Directive, and we'll see if Star Trek Discovery figures out what it wants to do with its version of the Prime Directive.
Good luck, guys.
Yeah, good luck with that, guys. Anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening. If you're on YouTube, a like and a comment's appreciated. If you're on iTunes, rating and review helps get the show out there. Rate us on all your podcatchers. You can go to facebook.com/thePenskePodcast and you can leave a like and a comment. Join the conversation over there on Facebook. All the kids are doing it. You can go to patreon.com/thePenskePodcast. Patreon is our way of people, if they want to, supporting the show. You go to patreon.com and you can give a couple dollars a month and you get exclusive access to some podcasts we do that are sort of off topic. They aren't really Star Trek related. They can be, but they aren't usually. Usually movie discussions, things like that. It's always good. Helps the show continue to go along. I appreciate greatly all the patrons who are out there supporting it. And Modi, thank you very much for coming on.
Anytime.
You guys can go to Modi's channel. I'll put a little link in the description for it. Otherwise, you can rate on the poll. This episode, I always forget to do that. I need to write down a sheet of all the stuff I need to run through with these podcasts. I'm trying to get better. I know I never put the links in or anything like that, but I will do it this time. Guys, thank you very much for listening. I'll see you next time.